So here we are again, and it seems like we just went for lunch, and we sat at a table, and then we came back here, and that something actually happened. Actually, nothing happened. That's the way life always unfolds. It always seems like movement's happening, which it is. The one form's turning to another form, turning to another form, but it's never going anywhere. It's different. It seems like it's different forms, but it's the same energy expressing itself in a different way. If you didn't have a brain to register it, you wouldn't even know the difference. So in the coffee shop, it was still, in the Indian, it was still this. Walking down the street, it was still this. Just the energy was presenting itself in seemingly different forms, but still exactly the same energy, exactly the same presence, exactly the same. And then we walk here, and it feels like we're walking through somewhere. But we're just walking through ourselves. It's the same thing. Just different, different, different. Same, same, but different. And we feel like we're eating our food, and the food's disappearing. We have all this information that we've learned. So we've learned that the food gets digested and turns into body and all this different ideas and thoughts. And none of them are the problem, actually. Thoughts aren't a problem. They're another form of expression. But what happens for the human is when there is an energy that's claiming those thoughts to be true and who you are, that's all suffering is that dynamic. Otherwise, it's just yourself expressing yourself. This is just total creativity of the one. Just like a dream at night, this is exactly the same. A dream at night, you're never walking through a separate world. You're walking through your dream. You seem to be walking in a separate body through a world, but it's the body is something you dreamt and the world is something you dreamt. And that's what's happening here. But the question is who is dreaming this one? In the dream, at night, we wake up and we're like, oh, this body dreamt that one. That's what we think. But who's dreaming this dream? And this is the best bit. We can never know that because all that this can be is the appearance of this dream. We can't know it intellectually, but we know it as an instant. That, I don't even know what to call it. Beingness or nothingness, we know it as, because we are it. It is. It is. The dream is here, right here. The experiencer is here. But not in any particular form, and in every form. Just like at the dream at night. But when I say that, it's easy to imagine that it's a body thing, that it's somebody dreaming. Because it's not really your body that's dreaming the dream at night. It's so exciting. You're alive. Who would have thought? Hands, room, all of this. What a bizarreness. But yet it is. Very things on the floor. We know what floor is. We have a word that names it. What detail. So I'll do the same as what we did earlier if you've weren't here earlier. I just did some talking like this, and then I just shut my eyes for a while, and then more talking came, and we did that for the first hour or so, and then we had a break, and then we did questions and answers afterwards. So we'll kind of do that, unless a question just suddenly goes whoop, and then we'll answer them. And it's totally okay if sleeping happens. There's nothing that could be more perfect than what happens. And it's like, that's perfect. Even if snoring's happening. It never goes wrong, ever. It's never gone wrong. And you wake up and there's dribble and there's like, oops, oopsie. It's still right. You never need anything. You don't need to. Your freedom is always what's happening. What you look for is always this. And it's okay, the dream of needing, but needing the world to be a certain way or others to be a certain way creates that sense of discomfort.
Lisa, my thoughts are so going crazy during the day. It seems like I want to ask a question, and for hours, like the thoughts, I want to find the words for the question. There's so much struggle going inside. I cannot.
Yeah.
And in the restaurant, also, I was talking some words with her, and it feels so strange, so...
You don't need to find a question, I can feel it.
And it is a little bit about this... about this expectation with which we go to satsang, like with this idea what might happen, and like intellectual, I even cannot speak very well.
Yeah.
Intellectually, it's there is no not big expectation left, but I noticed today it's still there, like as if it's not enough just spending nice hours together, like something has to happen.
Yeah.
Has to.
And that feeling is the core of what we've been talking about today. That feeling that's appearing now. And it's so confusing because as soon as it's felt, loads of ideas will circulate about it. And so it feels like you get lost. Like it feels like a feeling of being lost, because there's that sensation that no matter how big or small it is, of feeling slightly removed from something, not totally in it, slightly removed. And then the ideas will circle about it as to why it's happening, what we should do. But all of it's happening, and there's nothing that you can hold to more, no matter what they say.
Nothing you can hold to?
More. There's nothing, no matter what they say, there's nothing to hold to.
Yes.
Nothing.
I notice how I try to at least like to have a little desire to write down.
And even if it makes up a result, like that will disappear again when you're looking at the cookies or going to the toilet, it's gone. Yeah, the only constant is this, is what's happening. That's always where home is. Nothing that's thought or felt is true. It's always moving.
I don't know what...
Even if we made up a story that there was a result here, or that there was like something that happened here, where is that when you say hello to your friend after? Where is that when you open the door? There's no continuous anything.
For you neither.
Huh?
For you also no continuous.
There's no continuous anything. The only continuous is what's appearing. What do you have idea about continuous when you said for you continuous?
For example, a continuous not not searching, not looking.
I don't see that as a continuous. I see the I see there's a lie that's happening that's holding on to things. So there's a person that's trying to make experiences happen through stories. So it looks in this room and it says, I'm awakening now, or this is going to help me awaken. And this is an absolute fallacy. That's not true. The idea that you are even there is a fallacy. That what's actually happening is there is this aliveness that's expressing. When the person is dropping or dropped, then that lie stops coming up, but I don't see that as a continuous. Like the lie... It's not a continuous experience, it's just the absence of an experience that never existed. Like it's an absence of an illusion. It's like you know, the illusion of self is like a dream happening. There's this, and then there's this dream that this is happening to you. And this is absolutely not true. So there is no awakening and there's awakening, because there's no awakening for somebody. There's no continuous person that's awakened. But there's awakening in the sense of that one that suffers drops. That one that is wanting something else than this drops. And you can even feel it now. You can feel that intense, that personal energy that's looking for something. And then there's another part of you that senses that's not true. But it's becoming more and more obvious that there's been this energy that's looking for something else. And that's every discomfort that you've ever experienced in your whole entire life. That energy that's presenting itself, of looking for something to ask, looking for an experience. You can feel it.
I wish you would paint a picture of myself, it would be very...
yeah, this is the person beginning to go out of control, because there is absolutely no person, solid person there. But the whole life has been about painting a solid person, or finding a solid experience in a solid person. It's completely, what are we? But it does have this, when awakening is happening, the person does go a bit wild. It's like, because a lot of the time the reason it's going wild is because it's trying to present a new illusion, and there's no, they're not, they're not holding for very long, these illusions. So it says this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, and then it feels a bit schizophrenic at points because it's trying to get a new illusion going. So it's trying to tell the story, this is a problem, this is the problem, this is the problem, and they're not holding, so it presents more.
It feels like the thoughts are faster than ever.
Yeah, that's normal. It goes, but the reason it's going faster than ever is because it's not sitting anywhere. If you had one continuous story going, like identified body mind mechanisms have a repetitive story continuously playing. So if you had one like my husband's the problem, then the mind would just continuously be telling the story about the husband being the problem. And the reason I feel uncomfortable now is because he did this and because he did that, and I don't like things because of what he's done, and I would be a happier person if it wasn't for him. And then when that person, say that identified person that's identified with the man being the sufferer, this creating the suffering, when that begins to be questioned, then the mind's going to continuously try to present new stories. And if there's not any energy particularly going into any stories, it's going to go a little while, because it's going to be like this, 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 this. And there's nothing. There's no problem. There's never been a problem. Isn't that crazy? The mind's like, no, there is a problem. I remember waking up in the morning and my mind looking for a problem. It'd be like, hang on, I know there's a problem here. I'd spend like 5 minutes trying, and then I'd be like, oh yeah, it's money. It would always come down to money. And I would be like, hang on. There really is never a problem. It's just got so used to repeating that story. And then it's like, the rug gets pulled, and it's like, ooh, where is it? And then, as that energy begins to disperse, this will come back to life. And this has always been alive and always been free, but the focus has gone on that one that feels not free. It's very weird. This is why it's nice having, although there's nothing that's needed in order for awakening to happen, because it's not about the story, it's not about the flow of things, of why awakening happens. It's about like, you can't give people the same story and say that they'd awaken. It's never about the movement of things, awakening. And I'm forgetting now what I had that interrelation with. What was I saying before that?
You always need a problem.
I needed a problem, yes.
That's a problem now.
looking for something. That's gone. It's really gone.
This what seems to be like a question is about this seemingly this contradiction between, like, there's nothing to get and I can give you nothing, and like enlightenment doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It's only a story.
Yeah.
And nevertheless, people are coming to satsang, for example, to this satsang, and
yeah,
as if, like, yeah, they all had already so many fallen away, but there is something left, like.
Okay, so say this bear. Say if I were now to write a program into it, say it was a robot bear, and the robot bear is just rolling around. It is a robot anyway, but it's in a different form than what we call robots. But it's a bear and it's rolling around, and then I put in a program to it of suffering. So I put in a program that it feels separate, and that it feels not good enough, and it feels not enough, and I place memories in. and experiences and sensations, which are all programmed, giving the appearance that this bear isn't enough. Before, the bear was just rolling in the grass, it wasn't thinking about anything in particular, but then I put this program in, like you put the USB stick in the computer, and I put it into that bear. And so the bear now feels a sense of lack. And then eventually, after searching in lots of things, in whatever bears would search in, and eventually it gets to this idea of enlightenment, and the enlightenment will fulfill it. But as it begins to explore this, it begins to see that the program of the sense of self was actually an illusion. Someone had just written in a program that said, I'm not good enough, I'm separate from the world. And as that program began to dismantle, and then eventually the program's taken out, there's no bear left there to get enlightened. You could say the bear no longer suffers, the body of the bear no longer has suffering programmed into it, but there's not actually a sense of self there that could awaken, because the sense of self was what gave the discomfort, and that's being removed. So there's no bear that gets enlightened. The sense of self was a program that I put into the bear. I put in this sense of self that felt not good enough, and it was that sense of self that was looking for freedom in enlightenment. And then when the program's taken out, there's no bear that feels enlightened. There's just bearing happening. There's just being alive happening. But you could say the body no longer suffers. The body seemed to suffer before and it no longer suffers. Like the body of this bear, or you could say there's no personal suffering anymore. And it's the same as what's happened there. There was this baby born, and it had no sense of being, it just was. And then as it got to two, something happened in the cells, two, three, where it began to feel like somebody was inside the baby. And then that got validated, and this program grew, and it grew in every cell of the body, this feeling of difference from everything else. And this story carried on, until there was a point where it got so uncomfortable it looked for enlightenment and it looked for freedom again. And all that happens when the freedom comes is that sense of feeling uncomfortable is removed, but it's not removed for anyone. Were you a baby before you knew you were a baby? You just were pure aliveness, and then this idea got put in. It's hard to put into words, that part. So nobody gets enlightened, but there is an illusion that falls away. But you can't, then who's left to be enlightened? Because all that's left is everything. So then you can't really think about being enlightened or not, there's just everything left. So I call it the end of suffering. Some people criticize calling it something like that. So it's not really anybody's end of suffering.
And Lisa, if the eye falls away, can there still be discomfort, or do you not feel any discomfort? I do get that there won't be any suffering, but what about discomfort or like?
What do you associate with discomfort?
I don't know. Maybe something that body-mind mechanism doesn't
like.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, like I don't like it when Khaleesi runs off for hours and it's cold and stuff, but it doesn't take from anybody. There's no dog out there taking from me in here. It's just happening, and it's uncomfortable.
And is there also a bodily sensation that comes with it, with this discomfort?
Yeah.
Or is it also a mental story?
Yeah.
Also?
But that's no longer who I am. That's just another sensation arising in this, just like the sensation of Khaleesi running off. Like I said, the movement of Khaleesi is also happening in me. You know, like the movement of Khaleesi suddenly disappearing into the bushes, and you're like, ah. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's appearing in looking. We're so used to defining that that's something external from me, happening to me. And that switchover makes all the difference from it happening to me to it happening in this. there's suddenly no victim. There's no one that's been abandoned. She's not abandoning me. I mean, I've seen people so angry with their dogs. Like if they have a dog that doesn't listen, like, so, like, how dare the dog do it to me? It's just movement happening in me, but not me as somebody. Like when I say me, we have to question who me is. Me as everything. Me, or you could say the opposite of there is no you, and then there's just everything. She's moving in everything. The human's so used to looking at life and feeling victim to life. And the thoughts are so used to, this is where they begin to go crazy, because they're so used to finding the problem out there. And as that's questioned more and more, then where can it put its problem? Because putting your problem somewhere, sometimes relaxing in a way, it's like, okay, I know what the problem is. The problem is my living situation. So now I can imagine having a better living situation. So you kind of feel like you're getting somewhere. But you'll never get there. You'll never get to the end of the problems in the problem, in the mind, in the person.
When there are no others,
yeah,
that doesn't mean that it's aloneness.
Well, depends how you look at it. What do you mean by aloneness?
I'm alone and nobody else is
yeah.
in the whole world.
Oh yeah, it is absolute aloneness. But it's not lonely, like it's not like you're in just locked in that body watching the world. It's intimacy, because everything is you, like everything's touching you. You know, like, it's alone because there's nobody left to play with in the imagined world. There's no person that's going to complete you. So it's aloneness in that sense, like there's just this and you are it all. But it's not lonely because everything is reflecting this back, like everything's touching each other. Like this is no thing's way of experiencing itself. So my voice is the same as the hearing. My face is the same as the looking, like there's no separation. It's all happening, and you could call that love, like absolute love. It's all happening so close together. But it is aloneness, as in, like that's, I suppose, why this has come about. Like it's not, you're never going to find another.
But there seems to be something going on concerning non-duality, I think. Maybe it's a concept.
What do you mean?
There's a very famous comedian in Germany who wrote a kind of autobiography.
Yeah.
And he writes about non-duality during his childhood, where he describes, it's like saying, I am the voice listening, I am the eyes seeing, I am the rye moving, I am the clouds, something like this. And it's a very heavy story about the suicide about his mother and how he changed and developed personality.
Yeah.
But these are my words now, it's just the story. And in the end, it's like, I'm awake. That's the last sentence. And there's so much non-duality in this book.
Yeah.
And to me, what is fascinating is that this man, he's really got a name in Germany. And he reaches so many people. Hafe Kerkeling. And he reaches so many people by this book.
Oh, I think so too. There's a Hollywood films, there's a few that have been out this year about the subject as well. There's quite a few. I think it's becoming huge.
Yeah. And especially in Germany, as Germany is so conservative.
Yeah.
And he's so famous.
And a lot. The thing is sometimes I think it's easier for actors or people that are famous because they get it all. Then what? Then it's like even worse in a way because you've got nothing left to hope for. You get there and you get the women or the men or the attention, the house, cars. You have it all and then what? You know, oh, there must be some lucky God.
So there must be a change somehow.
Yeah. I think so. And then also we're in a society now that's really comfortable. Like we're in a society where it's not, we're not constantly looking for just survival. I mean, look at what happened in 2000 with Eckhart Tolle. Was it 2000 or 99 he published that book?
Yeah.
That was huge.
Yeah.
And then there's Oprah now. I watched the other day. I didn't even know this happened until somebody told me that Ajashanti was on Oprah. And she's got a whole channel that's about awakening now. She does. On the internet, you can...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her whole channel. Like, she's interviewed Ajashanti recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, she made a whole awakening series with Eckhart Tolle.
Yeah.
Like this a weekly class or something like that.
The channel even broke down from the system when he was on Oprah because she said to other people, you know, you read the book and next time when you come back, let me know what had happened to your relationship and your marriage. And all over the world, people were connecting and the whole internet flopped in America. It was a work. So many people.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Makes me want to cry, I don't know why.
Lisa. So is it all the same? Like just something like, so there's no difference between my thought, the wall, something I hear, something I see, like the appearance of your body over there, the appearance of my body, the feelings, it's all like made out of the same,
yeah.
I know what, like, nothing. Like in a dream, yeah. Everything is made out of yeah. the same somehow.
Yeah.
Strange.
Oh, really? I think it's strange, the idea of the separate self. But it doesn't mean that that body doesn't have preferences. So that body is a functioning, seemingly object that has preferences towards certain things, but the things that it's drawn to aren't separate from that body. There's not really space in between objects. There's only imagined space. There's any imagined space. Well, it's quite hard to explain.
Take your time.
Yeah. Well, how do you explain it? So it seems like you're experiencing life from a specific position, that you're experiencing from a body, and that you're moving through space to another body. But there's only seeming space, there's actually no space in between. It's all made up of energy. It's just that... That's very hard to explain. Well, in a dream at night is the space. Is the space between two objects. Seems like there is. It seems like one object moves towards another object. But is there actually space? This is all energy just lining up in different ways to create different appearances. But if you actually got a microscope and looked into the body, you'd never find the border of the body, you'd never find what we call the body, yeah. You'd never find anything called space.
Yeah. Between the bodies.
Yeah, but it's just energy in a different appearance as air.
Yeah.
Or oneness in a different appearance as air, which gives the appearance that we move through air. We don't really move through it. Yes, a hard one.
We don't leave before you explain.
Yeah.
Before we all understood.
Yeah.
You know, we paid for it.
I think you can try to explain it with the senses, because when you close your eyes and you feel and you can see, so to speak, that there's no difference between the experience and the experiencer, and when you try it with hearing, it's a little bit more tricky because you have this idea that the sound comes from left or right or over there, but in the essence, it's the same, like with the feeling.
Yeah.
And the most complicated one is the seeing, because it's the trick of the light that you are there and I'm here.
Yeah.
But it's only the trick of the light.
Yeah. Well, I think she's got a few knots. There we go. That was Lisa speaking. Job done. It really is just a trick. It's a light show. It's a trick that there's space happening. Just like it's a trick that there's time happening.
But then these tricks seem to be happening inside the brain, inside the body, or inside the mind or something. But then the mind also seems to be just happening like that in I don't know.
So it might. Then the question is who then creates the mind?
I'm sorry.
Go for it. Who creates the mind? Like, who is... So it seems to be that the brain is what is giving distance, what is giving space. Like, I think a dog sees flat. And they see in black and white. Like, it's the brain that's projecting the three dimensions. And then if you had a brain that projected six dimensions, it would be a whole different experience. I can't even imagine what that would be. So it is the brain that seems to be projecting all of this. But what is the brain? So if the brain is what's creating all of this, like the brain is the machine which is creating all of this illusion and creating the appearance of dimension and space, then what creates the brain?
Are you asking me?
Well,
you want to have a go?
Do you have some more questions?
If we change the brain a little bit, the machine in which is seemingly creating and projecting this, so we put it, chopped a bit of the brain out, the world would be different. Like the world would seem differently if we chopped out. Well, I don't really know that much about the brain. If we chopped out. If we chopped out memory, I mean, that would really. Because memory is just a functioning of the brain. Can you imagine what that would be if you chopped out all memory? That would be a whole different experience. We'll just do that. But then, so then you could get stuck at the brain and then think that the source is the brain. Did you have a question?
No, I just remember when you spoke about source.
Oh yeah, the source.
Is it
source?
Thai sauce?
Yeah. Sweet and sour sauce. Sweet and sour sauce.
It's very nice because within the last 50 years, humans become familiar with the idea that matter as such does not exist, but space as such, you know? And of course, if there's no matter as such, there can't be space.
Yeah.
In between what?
No. Yeah, in between what? Such. Yeah. Yeah.
Huh? Space also? I thought matter.
Makes it incredibly intimate.
Yeah.
There's no space.
Yeah.
Matter heißt in dem Fall...
Materie.
Ah, Materie.
Körper.
Lisa,
yeah.
Have your dreams changed when there was awakening?
I don't think so, no.
And tonight, is it still the same?
I don't think so. I think I used to dream, like I said, about awakening, and I don't dream about that anymore. But I still have my reoccurring dream that I've had since a kid. It was
really?
The aeroplane falling out of the sky.
Okay. Do you still dream this?
I grew up in a place called Maidenhead, which is the place where planes turn for Heathrow. And Heathrow is a huge airport. It's the biggest airport in London. So Maidenhead's like 20 minutes away from Heathrow, and they circle often. So normally when you look up to the sky, you constantly see a plane turning, which is, I love seeing like a really low, huge jumbo just suddenly, I mean, how does that stay up when it turns to its side? So my reoccurring dream is it falls. But the thing that differs is my reaction each time, is this body's reaction. I did dream of, like, I used to dream of gurus and teachers, and I used to dream of non-duality. I don't dream of that so much anymore. And I used to wake up in dreams and all those sort of, you know, like funky things.
But when you dream, do you have the experience of a separate self or not? In your dreams.
They're not detailed enough to remember that anymore. Maybe I really can't remember that.
How does it affect the character after the me illusion drops away?
Well, I think it's really different in every body mind mechanism. I've met quite a few people now that don't seem to have a sense of suffering energy, or it's very little, or doesn't seem so detectable. They really vary. Always surprises me in the variety. I think that it maybe goes back to what it was like when it was younger, as a child, but just with more intelligent thinking. I think. And all the conditioning and the traumas that are in the body are very easy. Like, there's still conditioning of the body, so this body is... this body is afraid of flying and has vertigo, you know, when you like you're falling out of the airplane when you're actually sitting still. But there's not anybody there that's concerned about it anymore. So I fly all the time and actually enjoy it, even the fear. So that the traumas that are in the body or the conditioning of the body becomes very easy. You're not going to get rid of the conditioning of the body, and new conditionings will come. That's just the nature of this thing. And then this thing walk around with it. I've heard some speakers say that the trauma gets less, because there's not much energy going into it, it gets less. So if you've been really traumatized and, you know, maybe even been in an airplane crash or something, it gets less. There's not energy going into it. I found often the bodies become quite nice, you know, like I don't think that when there's a strong projection from other people, they might not see that. They might be like, Lisa's a real arsehole. But the body actually, it's not constantly focusing on maintaining its identity. So they become quite flexible and nice. Whether or not that will be seen by other bodies, that's dependent on whether they've got an eye or not. If they've got a strong eye that's very hateful, then they'll see Lisa as an absolute arsehole. They'll see everyone else, that's just the way it goes.
But do you feel they're naturally drawn to people without an eye?
I find that if there's a body around me that's constantly projecting their stuff on it, like projecting stories, then I find actually now it's been quite a while, there's a movement away from that. Like it's okay to do in this kind of environment to talk about people's projections, but if you have somebody constantly telling you what you are and who you are, because the separate self, it projects the way of the person and then it projects onto the other person. It's just the same. So if you have somebody, what the separate self will do is it will do things like, it will compliment, make everything complicated, so it will complicate the situation. So it'll be like, you did this to me. You weren't very nice. You weren't very thoughtful. You don't love me enough if you do this. It's the same sort of thing. But if you have no belief in any of that, like, and there's no reaction to it. Like, if there's a reaction to it, then you're still suffering. If there's a wanting to convince them or wanting to change them and it's an uncomfortable feeling, then there's still a trigger happening. But if it's just kind of, it's not so fun. You can take it to a point, but it's not so fun to be listening to someone's daydreams. And they'll want to talk a lot about themselves and convince you that they are something, mm-hmm. and you just don't believe it. You're like, it's not even that you think I don't believe it, you just lose interest after 2 seconds. You're like, and they're telling you what they are, and there's lack of focus. Like before, it was like, I've got to validate them or love them or show them.
And can you sense other people who are liberated as well, or where there's like no eye? I mean, when the eye falls away, right? And
yeah,
one isn't that. Can you sense others as well?
Well, like, I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I can instantly sense it, and then I've been proved wrong, and I'm like, oopsie. Generally,
well, that surprises.
Generally, it's going to come out after a period of time. If they're still identified, they're going to hate you for something after a while.
Thank you.
And like, there could be disagreement between two bodies, you didn't do the washing up, you said you would.
Yeah.
But that's different. The identity is like, you didn't wash up because you don't love me. It's a different body. You're like, wow, that's complicated assumption. We all know everyone. My Lisa used to be like that. She could see leaving clothes on the floor as a sign of not love. And you can't even argue with that. Like, what do you say when somebody's got that going? Like, you just have to wait for that dream to pass. Trying to say you're dreaming doesn't work. That's when the time, boom. So I think generally over time it becomes apparent. And I'm not saying there's not conflict. There will be always conflict between humans because, say, me and you might be sitting here and one might be feeling cold and the other one might be feeling hot, and it'd be like, shall we open the window? There will always be, or did you leave the window open? The other one's like, no, you go and shut it, or I don't know. Like, there will always be, humans are feisty and da-da-da-da. But it's when it gets to that, you did this and you don't let me because you did this, and which is a whole, goes on for like 2 days or something. So that seems to, but there's so many different body-mind mechanisms with different conditioning, because there also might be a body that doesn't seem to express suffering, but that's because it's been really suppressing its feelings for a long time. So it might take a while to suddenly be like, to come out. It's very scary if you're in partnership with someone that wakes up, because you suddenly realize you can't manipulate them anymore into believing that they're bad. And that's a huge dynamic of the person. Because if you manipulate the other person into thinking they're bad, then they will do things for you. They will carry on maintaining your dream and your illusion. I don't know where that came from. Wasn't specifically directed at you, Winnie. Was it the wall?
So was there an awakening at the end of your group? No, there was a falling
asleep.
I love duality.
But somebody who falls asleep in satsang also wakes up in satsang.
Yeah.
Unless nobody wakes him up. That's nice.
Well, it's always such a joy talking with people about this. It really is. It's a real joy. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And there's so many things that I do online. I'm sure most of you that have stayed for the whole weekend now know. Like, or you already knew before, but if you are new to hearing me speak, I do online sessions twice a week, or once. No, it normally ends up once a week. It's normally most weekends I'm talking live like this, so on a Wednesday and a Sunday. And you can subscribe. I do it on something called Ustream. You can find it all on my website, and you can subscribe, and then you'll get emails instantaneously when I'm online, but it is a set time, which you'll find on my